You're with us on The Morning Show as we continue our candidate conversations leading up to the August 11th primary. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic candidate Roger Pollack seeks to challenge first-term U.S. Representative Brian Steil, a Republican in the 1st Congressional District. So Pollack will face Democrat Josh Paid in the August primary. We heard from Paid last week. The winner will take on Steil in the November 3rd general election. Do you live in Janesville, Kenosha, Racine, or another community in the 1st Congressional District? What issues matter to you? What do you think Congress should be doing? We're at 800-642-1234. Roger Pollack is a Racine native, an attorney, and a national security professional. He worked at the U.S. Treasury Department for a decade. Roger, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the listeners out there who have tuned in.
So why are you the best Democratic candidate to face Republican Representative Brian Steil in November?
Thank you. You know, I have the experience that it takes to not only win this election, but represent the people of the 1st District. I grew up in a low-income family where we struggled financially to make ends meet. My mom worked three jobs to keep a roof over our heads as I was a young kid, you know, three low-paying jobs. So I know what it's like to come from a family that struggles. I persevered. I had substantial help from the community. I relied on federal and state assistance programs. I made it to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And like you said, I served our country. After graduating, I joined the intelligence community, where I worked to stop funding to terrorist organizations in Asia. And I deployed to Afghanistan for almost 2 years, working to stop funding to the Taliban and worked on corruption initiatives in the country. So I've served our country. I've got a record of service. I know what it's like to deploy with our men and women in uniform and work to help keep them safe by stopping funding to the organizations trying to hurt them.
You mentioned, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also worked on the Iran nuclear agreement. I've sat face-to-face with Iranian officials to get that deal implemented. And I also sat face-to-face with Chinese officials who are trying to discriminate against U.S. companies. So I've worked on some of the most substantial foreign policy initiatives in our country. And I've been at the table when major decisions have been made, and I've got a record of service, and I know what it's like to come from a family that struggles to make ends meet, like a lot of families here in the district.
So I hear a couple themes here: foreign policy, international affairs, and with safety net programs in mind from your roots. So if you're elected to Congress, what are three things that you want to accomplish?
Yeah, thank you. You know, a big thing that we need to do is shore up our healthcare system. We need to make sure that individuals have access to universal, affordable, good quality healthcare coverage and low prescription drug prices. That will be a huge effort of mine. You know, the incumbent Brian Steil has voted against efforts that would allow the U.S. government to negotiate on behalf of pharmaceutical companies to bring the cost of prescription drug prices down. I think that's horrible and would absolutely work hard to bring those prescription drug prices down. Another thing is getting big money out of politics. That's really the root of all evil in our country. It prevents us from making tough decisions on climate, on gun control, on a whole host of issues, including healthcare. And so if we can reduce and get rid of corporate PAC contributions and close the loopholes that allow dark money to influence politics, get lobbyist money out of politics, that would make a huge difference. The third thing is, I think we need to work on climate change and infrastructure and have a large infrastructure program that, like I said, works to reduce carbon emissions, brings our economy into the 21st century, and in the process helps create jobs in southeastern Wisconsin.
You mentioned getting money out of politics. How will you fund your campaign?
I have run a completely grassroots campaign. Proud to state that in the first quarter of this year, we outraised Brian Steil and individual contributions. We're running a strong campaign. We've got a great team and are primed to win the primary and take it to Brian Steil. We're not taking any money from corporate PACs and are, like I said, running a completely grassroots campaign.
We're talking with Roger Pollack, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. It's part of our candidate conversations leading up to the August primary election. Taking your questions for Pollack at 800-642-1234. On the issue of climate change, what steps should Congress take to address climate change?
Thank you. We need to, you know, under the Trump administration, the Environmental Protection Agency has rolled back regulations substantially related to greenhouse gas emissions. And we need to, if the new administration, and I'm going to be working hard to make sure that's Joe Biden, I hope the EPA writes itself, but if not, Congress needs to codify regulations and law to prevent administration from administration to reduce environmental protection. So that's one thing. I think an infrastructure program that that prioritizes greenhouse, that prioritizes green infrastructure projects that brings our economy into the 21st century with things like increased public transportation infrastructure, with charging stations, greater reliance on green energy production is hugely important. And like I said, that would increase jobs in southeastern Wisconsin. And I firmly believe that if given the opportunity, southeastern Wisconsinites can compete with anybody across the country. And we've shown that for centuries now. And I look forward to voting on bills that and champion bills that help the people of southeastern Wisconsin participate in this new economy and help lead it.
Let's bring in Bill now in Kenosha. Hi. Oh, Bill is no longer there, but Bill wanted you to address, how do you build coalitions? Bill says we're not acting as a unified country right now. How would you work across the aisle?
Thank you for that question, Bill. And, I have a history of working across the aisle. I worked both in the Bush and Obama administration on national security, have a long, proud history of working with Republicans to get things done, to prevent funding from going to terrorist organizations. When I was in Afghanistan for almost 2 years, there was no Democrat or Republican. We were working to get the job done. And I worked not only with U.S. officials, but with officials across the world to get things done. And I think we need to focus on, of course, bridging gaps here in the United States, but also reinvigorating our alliances around the world to tackle issues like climate change and human rights. I have a long, proud history of working across the aisle, and I've got, the experience to be taken seriously from day one in Congress.
The presidential race will be at the top of ballots in November. What is your view of President Trump's response to the pandemic so far?
I think, first off, the number one priority of the president, of the government, is to keep Americans safe, and the president has not done that. It would have been difficult, of course, to stop coronavirus from entering this country. But once here, the leadership was sorely lacking. Getting rid of the pandemic response group that President Obama had put in place was obviously a poor decision. And it's a history repeating itself of just getting rid of initiatives that the Obama administration had done just for the sake of it. And so, I think we should have had policies in place already for getting critical supplies out to hospitals and had that stockpiled and had a real strategy to tackle this and not say that, we're going to stop it in its tracks day one. It's just a few people. It's going to be down to zero before long. But take this seriously as the pandemic that it is and not put pressure on states to open early, not put pressure on schools to open early. And so I think the Trump administration's response to this has been horribly lacking.
We're having candidate conversations leading up to the 2020 elections. Today, it's with Democratic candidate Roger Pollack, who is running for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. The district covers Kenosha, Racine, Walworth counties, parts of three neighboring counties, including the city of Janesville. How do you think Congress should tackle big issues like the coronavirus, like unemployment, policing, climate change, as we've been talking about, immigration, education? How do you feel about Congress? What grade would you give it? Which proposals are you following in the House or the Senate? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with candidate Roger Pollack here on the Ideas Network. It's Candidate Conversations here on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Cherkent. We have Roger Pollack, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. He aims to challenge Republican U.S. Representative Brian Steil, and he first takes on Josh Paid in the August primary election. Who has your vote for the Democratic primary in the 1st Congressional District? Are you voting for Roger Pollack or Josh Pade? What is your thinking? What issues matter to you most in congressional elections? Join in 800-642-1234. And candidate Roger Pollack stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take another call now. Sam is joining us from Madison. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Hi.
So my question was specifically for national security. You mentioned that you had experience on the Iran nuclear deal. And I think part of the deal that was the most confusing to me was the waiting time between discovering an illegal nuclear weapons activity at an unidentified site and the time that the inspectors were allowed to come in, which I think Harvard Belfer Center said was somewhere between 30 and 90 days. And I was kind of curious if you were on that group, why the waiting time as long as that was negotiated as opposed to something shorter.
Sam, thanks. Hey, Roger?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Sam. You know, the deal was struck over the course of over a year and a half of negotiations, and there was certainly give and take on all fronts, but it's a deal that prevented Iran from absolutely getting a nuclear weapon, one that did it with verification, one that had UN inspectors continually monitoring the levels of production on a continual basis. And so it was a situation where we made sure that there were proper verifications in place to get that deal done, and snapback opportunities for sanctions quickly re-implemented if we felt like the deal was not being adhered to. So we felt very good about the parameters of the deal, and I'm personally very frustrated that the deal was ripped up, and we saw what happened with our relations with Iran when that happened. You know, there was immediate hostilities in the Gulf, and then things spiraled out of control. So it showed me very quickly that getting out of the deal was wrongheaded, and I think it's again an example where the Trump administration has backed out of activities that the Obama administration did that were good for our country and good for the world, just for the sake of it.
Sam, thanks. Let's bring in Bud now in Janesville with a question. Hi, Bud.
Hello there. Say, my wife and I, we both work for small employers, and we pay healthcare premiums totaling $16,000 annually, plus we have a $6,000 deductible on top of that. I'm just wondering if Mr. Pollack, right, Pollack?
Yeah,
if he's in the favor of universal healthcare.
Bud, thanks. What is your view on universal healthcare and the high costs of Bud's premium and deductible?
Yeah, thank you, Bud. I absolutely believe that universal quality health care is a human right. We need to ensure that everyone in this country has access to a plan that meets their needs, that does so affordably. And, you know, Bud, I sympathize with the cost of your health care. And I think we need to have a situation where choice is still available for individuals, but have a plan in place that is absolutely accessible and affordable for everyone that is dissatisfied with their employer-backed health insurance.
Well, how do you pay for that? Because by way of taxes, how would you adjust or change our country's taxes and personal income on personal income or corporations as you look to ensure health care for everyone?
Yeah, thank you. The corporate tax loopholes that exist, if closed, would free up hundreds of billions of dollars. And I think we need to look at our tax codes that have allowed corporations to reap in record profits while in low-income and working-class families are struggling. So there is a lot of room in the U.S. tax code to shore up our costs, including health insurance. And I think we look at the corporate tax loopholes that have been put in place by the Trump administration and close those. Absolutely.
How do you do that? How do you make those changes and ensure that others are on board?
Well, exactly what we talked about earlier. You work across the aisle. I am hopeful that the come November, we have a Democratic-controlled House, Senate, and presidency, you know, executive office. But if that's not the case, then you have to work across the aisle and make tough decisions that are palatable for both sides. And I mean, the legislative process exists. It's worked for hundreds of years. It's broken down recently, but I'm hopeful. And, you know, again, with my experience working with both Republicans and Democrats, we'll be working hard to reach across the aisle to get things done, get hard things done.
Let's look at trade for a moment. Do you support the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that President Trump pursued to replace NAFTA?
I do support the agreement. You know, it is it's an improvement over NAFTA. There are still, you know, improvements to be made on the environment side, and you know, I think we need to, in future trade agreements, bring unions and labor into the negotiating process early and often to make sure that they are well looked out for, and for farmers as well here in southeastern Wisconsin. But it is an improvement over NAFTA, and you know, I would look forward to working on future trade agreements that include high standards for, again, environmental and labor standards going forward.
You mentioned farmers. We've seen the surge of bankruptcies, especially on dairy farms going dark. What would you do for farmers?
Yeah, farmers, like I said, farmers have helped build up our country in southeastern Wisconsin. Of course, you know, there's a proud tradition of farming communities. And I think we need to make sure that farmers have access to new technologies to work in a way that's more efficient, that have access to there's ways to make money from the green economy on farms, solar power, wind power, as ways to increase revenue. And, you know, I am for federal programs that support farmers in times of need. And so, you know, would be working to strengthen those programs as well.
Should the federal government offer more incentives to companies or to households to reduce carbon emissions? What would that look like?
You know, it's important to reduce carbon emissions at all levels, in corporations and in households. You know, I think the electric vehicle subsidies is a great way to induce lowering emissions, you know, so I'm fully supportive of those.
Looking at immigration, what ways would you support changing our nation's immigration system?
You know, our immigration system is obviously broken. Immigrant employers employ about one out of every 10 employers in this country. And we absolutely need to fix a system where individuals who come into our country have a pathway to citizenship. And I fully support the DREAM Act to make sure that DREAMers have a pathway to citizenship. I think we need to have a policy on immigration that is fair and grounded in human rights and dignity, and you know, certainly end separation of children and families at the border. I think that's abhorrent behavior. And again, have a pathway to legal citizenship. I think I'm for increasing our quotas on individuals who come here as asylum seekers to make sure that the United States is a place where people can seek refuge and start a new life. And we need you know, immigrant labor here in the United States and immigrant labor that is treated fairly and given proper wages. So I'm fully in favor of immigration reform. I think we need to do that.
I want to look more closely at the debate on Capitol Hill right now about a second stimulus package. Should Congress extend the weekly unemployment benefits that expire at the end of this month? And at what level, if you agree with that?
Thank you. I do believe that the $600 unemployment benefits should be extended. You know, we have no problem giving hundreds of billions of dollars in bailouts to large corporations. I should say, you know, Republicans have no problem doing that. And a lot of these large corporations wouldn't be around without U.S. support, federal government support in the financial crisis, and again, what we're seeing right now. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but we can't turn a blind eye to families and say, oh, you know, they're getting too much money right now when again, we're doling out hundreds of billions of dollars to large corporations. I think it's important that families have what they need in this time of crisis dealing with all the psychological stresses. And again, I come from a low-income family where we struggled considerably to make ends meet. So I know what it's like to be a child in one of these families right now that are having anxiety about paying rent. And I think it's criminal, the fact that we have a Congress that has totally dragged their feet, the Republican Party has dragged their feet in getting this bill passed in time before the stimulus increase has run out. And it's, you know, there's an easy solution here, and it's just yet another example of Republican members of Congress, including Brian Steil, prioritizing corporations over working class families.
Roger, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Kate, and thank you for the listeners out there.
Roger Pollack is a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. The district covers Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties and parts of 3 neighboring counties. Coming up, we talk about the renewed push to quit smoking amid the pandemic. Were you able to quit? What worked for you? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.